Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Peter Burak, who's been riding side saddle all week with me. It's been a lot of fun, especially in this, you know, season of Christmas and the great readings that the church has given to us. There's so much to celebrate as followers of Jesus and his church. And welcome back, Pete.
Thanks. Good to be here.
I almost forgot to welcome you.
No,
yeah,
that's
here
okay.
We go. Another great
Dive
reading.
Right in.
Yeah, another great reading from 1 John. We've been tracking with the passage. John is the beloved apostle. His teaching is so consistent. I love here in this passage, 1 John chapter 2, he says this, "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God." We could like spend the next month on that line, just coming back every day and talking for 15 minutes about what it means and its full implication. I sometimes, when I read this one, Peter, feel like John is saying, See what love the Father has for us. We're now children of God. He's made us children of the Creator of all things.
Right, right. And then you combine that with the other passages that talk about what it means to be children. We are now children, then heirs with Christ, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, right, in Paul in Romans 8. So there's so many implications of what it means to be the child of someone. You have their DNA, right? You hopefully, in right relationship with them, are taught how to live, and you're given the power then to live a life that is consistent with the life of your parents, and then their value system and all that. At the end, you're brought into an inheritance, and in a particular way, the childhood that we have with the Father is his life, the divine life, is accessible to us. And we are no longer sons and daughters of sin and death. We're not enslaved anymore, but we are free. We are free in him. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed, right? And we know that. What's the down payment of that inheritance? Is the Holy Spirit. So through our baptism and confirmation, the Father gives us the love between the Father and Son is poured out to us in the Spirit and provides that mark, that eternal mark that we are his, that we are sons and daughters of God. And provided we persevere, provided we cooperate, and provided we believe it, you know?
Yeah, it's so interesting you put it that way. I think in 2 Corinthians, is it, where St. Paul said, test yourself. Hmm. Test your faith, he said. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? God has come to dwell in you, in the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present in you. The kingdom of God is in you. So Paul's saying, test yourself. Is that really your perception? Are you trusting that? Are you living in that? Are you actually living as a son or daughter of God in that way? And are you aware that God's poured his love into your heart? Are you listening to your heart at its core, where the Spirit is crying out, Abba, Father, where the heart of Jesus, who knew God, not as an alien force, not as an angry, demanding, total authority, whatever, but he's a father. Jesus revealed God, the mystery, as Father. And he had a relationship for all eternity with the Father of absolute love, trust, surrender. And he's saying, I've come to tell you who your Father is. I've come to make you not God's enemies. I'm coming to bring you home so you can share what I've got.
Yeah.
I've got a full inheritance. You were made for him. I'm here to tell you, every longing in your heart is for my Father. And I'm going to make it possible for you to be united to him and have a relationship with him that belongs. It's my relationship with him. I'm sharing it with you because I love you so much. And I'm destroying everything that's enslaved you, and so that you can have what's mine.
Yeah. Part of what marked the apostles' teaching was the reminder of this, right? Because it is really hard to believe in some ways.
Yeah.
Even as you're describing it, it's like, gosh, I don't think I live, you know, test your heart. Like, shoot.
Yeah,
I do need to test my heart. Do I live each and every day with that firm belief and conviction? Am I living out of that identity? Because really what we're talking about here is a fundamental identity.
Mm-hmm.
How do we see ourselves? And this is where the world, again, does everything in its power to convince us that our identity is something that we get to create, that we get to curate, if you will, that we get to manipulate and massage and whatever we think is best for us. And it's just so clear that the revelation of the Son was many things, but one of the many things it was is to reveal our deepest identity, that by becoming his disciple, but by becoming brothers and sisters of Christ, we don't necessarily create a new identity. We receive the most authentic identity of the human race. The most real identity possible for us is to be sons and daughters of God. That mm-hmm. by through baptism, the family that we are now brought into, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relationship, that we are grafted into Christ and therefore brought into the Father's presence in a totally incredible and mysterious way. That is what we were always created for. That is what we exist to be. That is the most, like I said, the most authentic expression of human development. It's not, you know, the way the secular world would want to talk about it, where, you know, the enlightened mind and all these things, that's all fine and good. But ultimately, wherever that contradicts our fundamental identity, it needs to be cast off. Because our identity is not something we create, it's something we receive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And certainly everything else that tries to insinuate itself on us as a kind of counterfeit,
yes,
can give temporary satisfaction because it gets reinforced in the world and by the world, but it never fully satisfied because we're greater than the world. I mean, really, we're internal creatures. It's hard for us to believe that, but it's true. And God designed us, made us. We're his idea. We came from his mind and his heart. And he's the only one who knows who we are fully. And the fact that he loves us so much that he sent his only son is staggering. It's staggering to think that, you know.
See what and, love.
Yeah, see what love, you know. Again, he says later, John, down here in the verses, beloved, we're God's children now. How about just saying that to each other more often,
yeah,
you know, at church on Sunday? And pastors, if you're listening, start the liturgy, you know, before you, you know, make the sign of the cross, just say, brothers and sisters, beloved, we're God's children now. I mean, yeah, let's believe it, talk about it, share it, celebrate it,
yeah,
value it in people. Because I do think that this is something that might be in people's minds, but rarely does it seem to transcend to their hearts, where you really say, this is me. This yeah. is him. This is what he's done for me. This is not something that's going to happen. He's bestowed it on me now. And I can decide whether I'm going to live in that as my reality or not. Right?
Right.
And man, I've got stuff coming after me night and day, whether it's Alexa, whether it's ESPN, whether it's whatever, to get my attention. And oftentimes to get into my pocketbook, they're selling me distractions, identities, thrills, excitement, anything to keep my attention and to convince me when they have my attention that I need something I don't have.
Right.
And because that's true, I get suckered into it. Because what I do need is I need God. But they're just not selling God. That's what my heart longs for.
Yeah, it's just so true that the ability to live out of this identity, to not just believe it, not just hear it and like think about it, but allow it to impact behavior,
yeah,
is really a fascinating thought process. Like, how should a child of God live?
Yeah.
More from the positive than the negative. Not,
right,
again,
sure,
not so much from what should a child of God not do,
right,
but more so what kind of blessing to the world should we be if we truly lived in the reality that the Jesus life, the Jesus power, his resurrection, the fullness of God is in us,
mm-hmm,
especially through the sacraments and through our baptism and all that, and that every day we have the opportunity to go be refreshed in that and to receive him anew in a new and more powerful way. I mean, just think about, I mean, I'm saying this, as I say this, I'm thinking about it for myself. Like, what would my family look like if I lived out of, in a more consistent, maybe I do it 30% of the time now. What if that was actually 80% of the time I was living out of my identity as a son of God, which means there was nothing that can hold me back. There can nothing to separate me from the love of God. No height, no depth, none of that. That all the power that Jesus displays in his miracles are at my disposal, that in his will and in his timing, I have access to that same spirit, that the ability to literally raise people from the dead, both figuratively and literally are right there at my disposal. All of it is right there. And yet we just so often live like our identity only exists when we're at church or when we're praying specifically, or kind of when we need it or when we pay attention to it, as opposed to just the operating principle of my life. And the chaplain at the high school I went to, Father Gabriel Rochard here in Ann Arbor, used to kind of drive us nuts, but Father Lobert always just calls us all the time a beloved son of God. But how are you today, beloved son of God? And we're always like, oh, Father Lovert, you know, like, what does that even mean? Yeah. But as I think about it, it's like, no, that's exactly right. What a wonderful reminder to these high school students who probably don't get it at all, but his instinct is right there. He's identifying as much as who you are as Peter Herbeck, which you really are, Peter, you are a beloved son of the Father. Let everything else about your life flow out of that reality.
And when we live that way, you know, things that Jesus said that seem kind of impossible or almost like outrageous, Jesus said, you know, have no anxiety about anything.
Yeah, right.
You know, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about what you're going to wear, what you're going to... And the whole culture is based on those anxieties.
Yeah,
you need these clothes, yeah. You need this car, you need this house, you need this neighborhood, you need da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And every year, you got to get new, you got to get new, you got to get... Right?
Yeah.
And so it feeds the... It stirs and feeds the anxiety that's in us for completeness or security or identity and all that stuff. And Jesus looks at us and says, don't be anxious.
Yeah. Or even like going to the Father to ask for things.
Yeah.
You know, so what good father wouldn't give good gifts to his children? How much more would the Father in heaven give to those who ask? Ask anything of the Father, basically. Well, if we believe we're sons and daughters, we go to our Father.
Yeah.
If we kind of don't believe we're sons and daughters, or we feel like some of the things we've done have all of a sudden disqualified us from that identity, or we're really not sure he's good... It really does neuter our ability to go to him with our hopes and our yeah. dreams and our fears and all the things that come up. And that's what produces anxiety. If we don't feel like we have a good father, then it does become more and more about us. And when it's more and more about us, that's a
well, our starting,
unsettling.
We have to remember our starting point and our default mode is to not trust God. That's the consequence of the fall.
Right.
You know, that if there is a God, he's impersonal power. He certainly is not loving, whatever it is. Or he's an adversary, he's my adversary, because he's standing in the way of my weekend, you know what I mean? My fun and the things I want to do. He's like going to ruin my life, you know, that kind of silly stuff that's present. And so Jesus's ability or Jesus's call to us to say, don't be anxious about anything because you have a heavenly Father. He said, look at the birds of the air.
Right.
Not one falls to the ground. Your Father knows you're more valuable than all the birds of the air. The problem is we don't believe we're valuable.
Right.
We just don't, all right? And then look at the saints he brings along. Like St. Francis, my favorite saint, you know, you go to his crypt and the whole world keeps coming to St. Francis, millions of people every year, and they're fascinated by this guy who's just totally left the world, but was totally engaged in the world of in God, in Christ's way. And he was so full. He was absolutely filled to overflowing, even though in the world's eyes, he has nothing that we're all supposed to want. Who wants what that guy? I mean, he lived in a barn. I mean, he slept in a cow stall or whatever, you know what I mean? And had one garment his whole life and all this stuff. He said, who would want that?
Right.
You know, I want a massive house. I want that's not no. All that other stuff goes away, and what Francis had is still echoing throughout the whole world and all eternity, and the Lord's honoring him. And anyway, we could go on and on. Just notice the time. Pete, thanks for being here
Absolutely.
This week.
This
you did
was
such,
fun.
Yeah, I did such a great job. We'll do it again. Friends, we love just sharing with you the Lord's good news for each one of us. He loves you so deeply and so profoundly. Hey, by the way, as we begin this new year, if you have a minute, send an email. Let me know what about the program helps you, what you'd like more of, what you'd like less of. I'd love to be able to hear from you. pbeck58@gmail.com, pbeck58@gmail.com, or just go to renewalministries.net. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.